Good evening, everybody. Tonight's class is dedicated Le'ilui Nishmat in memory of, for the elevation of the soul of Rav Shlomo ben Rav Shmuel HaKohen, by Albert Kahn and family. We thank our generous sponsors. The fact that you're listening to this is due to their generosity. And we're always looking for more. If you'd like to sponsor a CD, an online class also, because these CDs do go online worldwide, you dial 718-375-1023. 375-1023 in Brookline, the classiest part of New York City. You know, the High Holy Days, they came, they went. And I believe we even had mention, or maybe in the class, I don't know. I don't remember one year from the next what we did. But a lot of people have problems with the fact that things go back to abnormal very quickly. We don't maintain what we thought we were going to maintain. Some of us make it to the hallway before we speak Lashon Hara. Some people get to the table to eat before they say Beracha without Kavana. Some people, everybody rushes back to their situation normal, which is not normal. We don't get where we're going. Also, people have plans. And I take it to a secular level. People open businesses, they have high hopes, they have a great idea. And it doesn't happen. And yet we find other people. Maybe some of you are here. I don't know. But we find other people that they put their mind to something and they succeed. And that's very, very frustrating for the one who doesn't. Like, what's the difference between me and him or me and her? Why does that person succeed and this person not? And when it's Gashmiut in the secular, physical, material world, okay, it's important. Succeeding is important. Nobody wants to be online for soup in the kitchen. Yet, when it comes to the spiritual, it's vital. Not important, it's vital. That we learn how to succeed. And there's something that will point it out to you if you compare people leaving. What do I mean by that? I'm going to bring you two examples tonight of people leaving. Vayikach Avram ben Achor hem Nashim. Avram and Nahor, the children of Terach, take wives. Vayikach Terach et Avram beno, and then Terach takes Abraham his son, ve'et Lot ben Haran ben beno, he takes Lot his grandson, ve'et Sarai kallato, he takes Sarai his daughter-in-law, eshet Avram, the wife of Avram beno, his son, vayetzeu itam mi'ur kasdim lalechet arza Kenan, and they left together. From the place called Ur Kasdim to go to the land of Canaan. Vayavo al Haran. They get to a place somewhere between where they left and where they were going called Haran. It's not important how far it was. It was one day's journey too, but they didn't make it. Vayeshvu sham. And they settled there. And Terach dies. Vayamot Terach v'Haran. He dies there. He left with his family and he had intentions of arriving at Eretz Canaan and he doesn't get there. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, next pasuk, Lech Lecha, get up and go. I want you to leave your land, your birthplace, your father's house and go to the place I will show you. And there I promise you all great things. Vayikach Avram has to start similar again. Avram takes Sarai Ishto. We get the list again, the family plan. They took his wife. He took Lot, his nephew. He took the property that they had accumulated. He took thousands of gerim, thousands of converts to the monotheistic approach. Vayetzeu lalechet arza Kenan. Same words. They left to go to the land of Canaan. Big difference. Vayavo arza Kenan. They made it. Now, by the way, at this point in history, Terach is still alive. Although in the previous parasha at the end it says he died. He didn't die until quite a bit of time after Abraham had arrived in Eretz Canaan. He established himself in Eretz Canaan. And Terach, his father, still never came. And then he died. Just to clarify the timeline, there's a reason brought in the Mefarshim why it brings the death of Terach first. We don't want to think he didn't have kibbut. There's a lot of reasons brought. But bottom line, Avram made it to his destination and Terach did not. Later on, we found out that Terach left and didn't make it. We found out Abraham left with Lot and he made it. They both made it. And then we see, and Lot, who was the one who was going with, ha-holech, present tense, the one who was going with Abraham, before he changed his name, haya tzonu bakav ohalim. He had sheep and cattle and tents. A lot of houses. He had a house in Brooklyn, he had a house in Deal, he had a house in Puerto Vida, he had a house in Yerushalayim, he had an apartment in the city, he had a lot of ohalim. He was covered. And the rest is history. He has a fight with Avram over the sheep, over the grazing. Halachic dispute, whether they're allowed to eat in other people's property, they're not allowed to graze in other people's property. And Avram comes up with the solution, time to kish. Get out of my life. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. It's a big world. We don't belong together anymore. I don't want to fight. So where does Lot go? And it was before Hashem had destroyed and Sodom and Amorah. It was like the most beautiful land on the face of the earth. Vayivhalo Lot et kol kikar yaden. He chooses that place which we now call the Dead Sea. Vayisat Lot mikedem. He left the east. He left the God of the east. He left the man of the east. Vayipardu ish me'alachiv. And he ends up in Sodom. Ve'anshe Sodom ra'im v'chata'im la'ashem mo'od. Lot, when he left with Avram to go to Canaan, he probably had the same dreams and the same aspirations as Avram. Otherwise, he would have stayed with Grandpa. Terach was settled in Haran. Lot was there. His father was dead. Famous furnace story. Not for tonight. But he had a choice. Stay with Jiddah. I don't know, maybe it was from Ashkenaz, maybe it was Zaidi. But stay with Grandpa, or go with Uncle. Uncle's going to the Holy Land, he's going at Hashem's word, that sounds great, you know, I'm spiritual, I want to go. I want to grow, I want to be something. So he packs up and he goes with Avram. Choice, goal, he ends up in Sodom. Hello, what's wrong here? So now we found out that Avram left twice. He left once with his father Terach, and his father stalled and ended up staying in a halfway point between his departure and his destination. And Avram continues, and Lot comes with him. And then Lot loses focus and ends up in Sodom. While Avram is bringing Korbanot Hashem, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem, and he becomes very famous in the Nisi Elokim B'Tochenu, you are the man. The evangelical supreme winner of his day. Success story. Millionaire, converting thousands of people. His wife's got the women, he's got the men, he's traveling all over Canaan, he's doing great. He goes to Mitzrayim, he does great. He's doing great everywhere. So now, let's look at these two cases, and we're going to try to learn two different but similar lessons about leaving and getting to where we're going. First lesson. Maybe I'll do this one first. We can ask ourselves, about the story of Terach and Avram, what was the difference? What could we point to as a key difference between Avram and Terach in their travels? That one went halfway and one went all the way. So let's look at the Sephorno. Sephorno, Sephardic commentator on the Italian peninsula. About 800 years ago, maybe. I don't know exactly. Something like that. He says, Lalechet Arza Canaan. They were going to Arza Canaan. They're going to the land of Canaan. Hamuchenet. No, that's not the one I want to tell you. Tells us it's great, and the land is great. Vayamo Terach Becharan. Ve'lo hishtadel lahasig machikivinu lahasig bonasame ukastim. And he didn't try to acquire, to reach machikivinu lahasig, what he wanted, what his goal was, bonasame ukastim. When they left the land of Ur Kasdim, he had a goal. But he stopped in Haran and he didn't try. And in fact, he says, "Ve'lo ba kilal etzel Avram, Avraham biyoto be'etz Kenan." And even when Avraham was a success story in Eretz Kenan, very famous personage, making a lot of headlines, he didn't go. You wanted to go there, you stopped. Your son went. He made big news there. Go. He didn't go. Ubikoro Shem Hashem, and Avraham was already raising the name of Hashem all around. Im kol gedulat shemo az, and how great and famous he was. What's going on here? So I'll look at the second one. Sephorno on our parasha. Vayetzeu lalechet Arza Kenan, vayavo Arza Kenan. Says the same thing. It's supposed to be a great land. Lo kinyan yitziat Terach lalechet Arza Kenan, shelo ba'elat Haran, vayavo Avram ba'aretz kodem. What happened here? What's the difference? Sephorno tells us, without reading every word of his, Avram and Terach on the video, on the day they left, when all the cameras came to Ur Kasdim, because he was famous already, because he got thrown into the furnace and he lived. He's a famous person. The celebrity is leaving with his father to go to another country, and the thing is being taped, and when you watch it without sound, they look the same. And if you watch it with the sound, they sound the same. We're going to Eretz Kenan. But when you look inside, there's something missing in Terach that's in Avraham. Commitment. It's great to leave with good intentions. But one who expects a life without difficulty is not going to get to where they want to go. Because to overcome adversity, you need commitment. You have to be stubborn somewhat. Avram was fortified with dedication. He had a goal. Hashem said, I'm going to this place. I'm going to get there. And I know that walking from Baghdad to Jerusalem, walking is not an easy trip. I once drove from Yerushalayim east to the Allenby Bridge. It was all rocks, hills, and sand. And I said, how could 3 million people walk over here? I can't even get up this hill. So don't think a walk from Baghdad to Eretz Canaan with thousands of people, babies, infants, cattle, property, tents, everything, was such an easy journey. So Avraham, when he left, he said, you know, Daddy's taking us, but I want you to know I'm not going the way he's going. If he hits a bump in the road, he might stop. I'm not stopping. I want to do what Hashem wants me to do, and if he's telling me that's where I belong, I am going to get there. The power of commitment is incredible. And commitment to a goal will get you to the goal. And that's at the outset. When they left differently. Yeah, it's a nice idea. Let's move to California. Okay, you want to move to California? You want to move to Florida? Let's move to Florida. You find out what it costs. You find out how it is. You find the roads. I got to fly. The apartments. The floods. The hurricanes. I'm staying home. That's Terach. And Avraham is sitting in the next blizzard laughing at the people in New York. He had commitment and he got there. You don't fly, we'll drive. You don't drive, we'll walk. I'm going to get there. And that was more than a physical relocation. It was a spiritual goal of Avram's. And without flying first class, he made it. So the first lesson tonight is simple. If you have the proper degree of commitment, and if you have clarity in respect to your goals, you will make it. If you expect an easy ride, if you're not committed to reaching the end of the line, you're not going to make it. It's that simple. You need a clear goal, and you need commitment to that goal, and then nothing could stop. And davar omed lifnei haratzon. If a person wants to, they can. And we learn that from the difference between Terach and Avram. But more baffling is our second case. Our second case involves Lot and Avram. Lot went, seemingly, further than Terach. He seemed more dedicated. He seemed more committed. He seemed very much like Avram. You can't stop me kind of guy. Now when Avram left, this test of Lech Lecha is listed in the 10 tests of Avram. And the famous question, of course, is, why is it such a test? Hashem promised him fame, fortune, children, everything you could want. And he believed in Hashem totally, he can give it to him. So what's the test? Oh, they say, oh, yes, the goal is Shem Shamayim, not because Hashem's giving it to him. Not because it's going to be great, but because Hashem said. That's good. But there's a different question that's commonly asked. When you look at the order in which he was told to depart, Hashem tells him, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, lech lecha. Go. For your benefit. Me'atzecha, from your land, your country. Mo'alatecha, your birthplace. Umibet avicha, your father's house. From the broad to the narrow. Yet when somebody leaves, the car service picks you up from your house. You leave your house. Then you leave. You got it? Working backwards. Your birthplace. And then you leave the country altogether. Why is it backwards? Many people answer, and the answers are very similar. But the Or Yahil, Rav Yehuda Leib Hasman Zatzal, says over in the name of Rishonim, he doesn't say who, that when it comes to Ruchaniyut, the spiritual, the process is reversed. When it comes to the physical, yes, you leave your house first, your father's house. You grow up a little bit, you get mature, you go to the city. I want an apartment. I'm moving out. And then maybe one day, you leave your birthplace. Leave Brooklyn. And maybe even settling in Eretz Yisrael. You leave everything. It's a process of getting further and further away from that little world of mommy's house when you're a little kid. But when you want spiritual growth, what you have to do is leave behind your young, immature habits and assumptions of childhood. And to uproot the customs that you saw in your youth, it's reversed. You have to change. And the most deep-rooted part of your being is your father's house. Then comes your birthplace. And then comes the general country in which you live. Because you're affected by all, your thought process by all, your habits by all, your values. And this is difficult. See, when Avram left, he not only had goal and purpose, but he knew, I'm going because Hashem told me to go. I'm going based on faith. So the first thing he did was to uproot all the stuff of Terach's house. Terach's still alive. He's respecting him. You can trust he respected his father. He went with him. Stayed there. They were together till he left. At the command of Hashem. And he cut the cord in a definite clean cut and a break from his land, from his birthplace, and from his father's house. And only after he did that, after you weed, plow, can you plant. Then he can start to grow. Lot, on the other hand, was quite different. Vayelech emo Lot. Lot went along with Abraham. But he went along physically and held on to his past. And in the end, all that was boiling under in his personality, in his character traits, when he had a little rough time having his vast wealth fed properly, his cattle, and when the shepherds of Lot started fighting with the shepherds of Abraham, they didn't start fighting directly with each other, the shepherds started fighting over where is the proper place to graze. Since his beginning was not proper, he lost it. Now let's look at the Pesukim to prove the theory here. Because they're saying they left, but yet when you read the Pesukim, it seems like Lot is with Avram. From the day Terach left, Vayelech ito Lot. And Vayelech Avram, Vayelech Lot. And then they went to this area, Vayelech ito Lot. It seems like he's always with him. Why are you reading into it that he really wasn't with him? Why would I say such a thing? Let's look at the Pasuk. It says, Vayikach Avram et Sarai ishto, v'kamavshir ashur b'charan. Who did he leave with? How many people? 3, 6, 8. Noach was 8. How many did Avram leave? Thousands. Tens of thousands of people. Kol ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan. So, if you have such a large group, tell me about them. Was Eliezer there? Yeah. Eliezer is one of the nefashot asu b'charan. He was one who came under the wing of Abraham, Eliezer. And he became the mashkiach of the yeshiva. How come you don't mention Eliezer was there? Forget it. Forget Eliezer. There's 100,000 people. Why are you naming Lot? Don't name anybody. Say everybody left with Avram. No, you tell me everybody left and Lot left. Everybody went with him and Lot went with him. They traveled together and Lot traveled with him. Change the language 3-4 times in all different positions. Why is singling out this person? What was different about Lot's traveling from the other people who traveled with Avraham? That you have to constantly say, Im Avraham, Et Avraham, Ito. The answer is that all those other people, those thousands, the throngs of people who traveled in this group were all subjugated to the beliefs and ideals of Avram. No questions asked. He says, jump, we say, how high? Lot was an individual. He held on to his old beliefs, his grandpa's beliefs, and he didn't subjugate himself to Abraham. So although he went with him, he brought along with him his old baggage. And therefore the Pasuk does not throw him in to the group. It singles him out because he was an individualistic person holding on to his old beliefs, at least in his back pocket, if not on his chest. So now what do we have? If you take an aerial shot, you see a throng of thousands of people walking through the wilderness. Avram is there, Sarai is there, all the Nefesh, Asubah Haran, Eliezer, that's a group. That's what it looks like. But in reality, we have two groups. We have everybody, and we have Lot. different kind of guy. He's a little different. And that's why it says, Vayelech ito Lot. And he went with him, Lot. Ved Lot ben Achiv, he mentions him again. Ved Lot imo Anegba, he traveled him to the south. The Gam Lot Alechit Avraham, it mentions him again. Why over and over? Because every time they left was a new opportunity for Lot to leave the dirty laundry behind and to join the group in wholehearted faith in Avram and his God and everything that he stood for and leave the past behind. But he couldn't do it. He was very wishy-washy. Or as they say at Republican conventions, flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop. You know where it comes from? His father. His father was Avram's brother. And he was there the day Nimrod told Avram, you better bow down or I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And Haran said, you know, I really admire my brother. I'd like to do what he does. But I'm afraid. You know what? It's amazing, Midrash. Haran says to himself, he doesn't even mouth it. If they throw Avram in the furnace and he makes it through some miracle of God, I'm going to let them throw me in too. But if he doesn't, I can't say I'm that committed. If he don't make it, I give in. Flip, flop, flip, flop. I want to see what the polls say before I decide. I got to find out who's on top here before I commit. And that is the father of Lot. Lot likes the idea. His uncle's the Rosh Yeshiva. He's into it. Grandpa's staying behind. I don't want that life. I'll go with Avram. But only so far. He holds on to his old values. He holds on to his old beliefs, at least in his back pocket, like I said. He's got a little bag, you know, in the back of the train, just in case he wants to jump off the back and go back.
Why can you let it go?
That's a weakness in Midot. I'll tell you why in a minute. I'm glad you asked. It's a very good segue to part three of the class. Thank you. First, before I leave the language, which I'm not going to delve on tonight, if you watch the language, all you Malbim fans and people who like that kind of diktuk in the language, you'll see that the further they traveled, the less committed Lot was to continue with him. Every time they left was a new leaving. Every time they left was a new opportunity to join him. And every time he failed. And in fact, he failed so miserably that he got further and further away from his uncle's ideals. And why, the lady asks? Why? V'gam lelot ha'olech et Avraham hayatzon u'bakar ve'ohalim. And also to Lot, the one who was going with Avraham, there was sheep and cattle and tents. Now you know the answer, right? Come on. You don't know? You didn't figure it out yet? I'll read you another pasuk. Etzel Avraham, what does it say? He traveled vayet aholo and he pitched his tent. Now you got it, right? No? Not yet? Okay, I'll give you another hint. Lot had a lot of tents. Abraham had a tent. Now you got it. Abraham had as many tents as Lot, if not more. But all he needed was a tent. It all was worth zilch, zero, nothing. Anything Hashem gives me is just to serve Him better. And to do my job, if I have one tent or five tents or 50 tents, as long as he has one tent with four doors, like all the kids are going to bring home this week, which so you can know that he was not, that's next week's project, you know. And you're going to get the little thing, the upside down cup with the four doors in it painted, you know. Now, what's that, Abraham? Say, see, he's sitting outside on the chair. So you're going to have that, but if he had that, he's happy. And the fact that he had a lot more didn't change him. It's a tent. It's a car. It's a bed. It's a suit. It's a shoe. Somebody pointed out to me yesterday. I really faint. I must be living in the fog. I'm telling you the truth. Somebody pointed out to me a handbag. I said, it looks like a handbag. They said, no, that's a handbag. How much you think that handbag costs? So I'm not dumb. I know there's some fancy names. I heard of Judith Lieber. Is that her name? Yeah. Yeah, and there's another one. There's Louis Vuitton. There's a couple of these names with the letters. I know Chanel's department, so that's no good. You know, but there's other names, you know, fancy names. The little ones that they bring to weddings, $1,500, $2,000, $2,500. Little thing. It doesn't hold your eyeglasses. Why don't you bring your eyeglasses? It doesn't fit in my bag. But they bring it. It's $2,000, $2,500. I said, I'm going to be smart. I'm going to make a crazy guess. He's going to say it was less, but at least you know I'm not stupid. So I say, that big? $3,500. $10,000. Huh? Looks like a handbag. I was really sketchy. I didn't mean $3,500. I meant like, you know, I thought maybe 15, so I said double. No, $10,000. They said the bracelet she's wearing and the watch is less than the bag. Abraham didn't think that way. Abraham had aholo. He had his tent. It's good. But Lot had ta'ava. And ta'ava is usually ta'avot. He didn't have desire, he had desires. He needed tents. He needed Brooklyn and Deal and Puerto Vida and Jerusalem and Paris and the city. He needs a lot of places to live. He needs ohalim. And every ta'ava that a person has bubbles in their personality underneath. He has a lot, but he needs more. That's Lot. So why did he leave with the beautifully pure intentions that his uncle Avram did when they left Haran and Jiddah, Terach behind? Why didn't he get where he was going? He couldn't leave the stuff behind. He couldn't change because he was married to his desires. And when he saw Sodom, he ran. What a beautiful place. What apartments they have. The doorman, the thing, the that. Wow. Sodom. It's fantastic. It's beautiful. They got everything. Every option. So that's the principle. When a person wants to grow in Torah, in Yirat Shamayim, the person has to know it's Sur Meira Vasetov. You have to be willing to leave the garbage behind. And then you'll be able to do good. Only after you get rid of the corrupt ideals that you grew up with, will you be able to progress into the beautiful world of Torah and Mitzvot? I want to put an asterisk here in the footnote. That's a great Yetzer Hara trick here. Thinking that so long as I got some of it, then I can't make it. Now, I still got some. I like baseball. I like this. I don't know. I like something. I can't give up everything. You have to have the intention to give up everything. Everything that's not good for your spirit. There are many physical things that are good for your spirit. Hashem expects you to be comfortable and happy with His beautiful world. That's why He made it that way. And you're allowed to have it. And guess what? Rich people are allowed to be rich. And rich people are allowed to wear nice clothing. And rich people are allowed to have a lot of things. I don't know about $10,000 handbags, but they're allowed to have. And they're allowed to eat fancy foods. Hashem blessed them with it. And the other person eats according to their means. And Hashem blessed them with that too. And sometimes a simple meal to a simple person is a lot more satisfying than a fancy meal to a fancy person. But if you want to progress and grow, you gotta dump the old stuff that you just know is no good. And if we're honest with ourselves, I don't have to make you a list. Most people know right from wrong. They know what's spiritually healthy and what's not. Or somewhere along the line, they hear a Musa Shmuz, or they hear a rabbi speak, or they read a book, or they open a sefer, and they find out. You know, all my life I've been living, this is no good. This doesn't make sense. This is a spiritual negative. It's a weight on my business. My business is to develop beautiful midot and to get to olama. Yitbarer, yitamet, etzel adam, ma chovato b'olamo. It's not my notes. It's Mesilat Yesharim. First page, you gotta learn it. What's the person's job in this world? Yitbarer, yitamet, etzel adam. Has to become truly clear, 100% crystal clear to the person. What his or her responsibility is in his or her world. And my job is to get to Olam Abba. And my job is to serve Hashem. Does this thing help me or does this thing deter me? That's good and bad. If it gets me there, it's good. If it stops me from getting there, it's bad. Now, dump the bed. You know what it is? You got some idea. I don't have to spell it out. And a lot of what's going on and bombarding us. It was a great, 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 great Rosh Yeshiva. And there's a concept called Da'at Torah. Da'at Torah. Everybody pronounces it differently. What is it? The Torah viewpoint of things. It's a nice definition. Okay, so what is it? Do I have it? No, you have to go to Gadol. He has Da'at Torah. Really? Why does he? Well, it's because he and he spent his whole life, and they tell you the whole thing. So somebody went to Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi, I can't put you in my pocket. Now we probably could. We probably could Bluetooth ourselves to the rabbi, and we can probably be connected to him all the time. Maybe even into his brain and know what he's thinking. But that's later. You know, we didn't reach that point yet. Right now, the guy says, I want to go around, and I want to do things al pi Torah, according to Torah. I want to know what Da'at Torah is. How do I know? I can't call you all the time. I got to know. So the rabbi patiently looked at him and said, I can't really give it to you because it's a life of Torah study and drowning yourself in Torah and mitzvot that somehow one day Hashem galenai v'abid, Hashem opens your eyes and you have Da'at Torah. So I could tell you one yardstick. Go out on the street and see what people are doing, hear what they're saying, and figure out what they believe in. That's not Da'at Torah, that's the opposite. And we have a lot of that bombarding us 24/7. You want to see? Okay. I have one. It's not that Torah. For those of you in CD land, this is a portable pocket telephone that's called wireless connection to the outside world, and I'm showing it to the people here. Now we can go back to our class. This machine that's able to get you email and sports scores and whatever else it does, besides keep my, you know, everything the Satan has is very useful. I have the entire Mishnah Berurah here. I have the entire Shas with Rashi on here. I have certain sections of Shulchan Aruch on here. I have the entire Rambam on here. I have it all in here. It's right in my pocket. In fact, most of it fits on here. Smaller yet. And it's all in here. Beautiful. So now I have to carry. You know what else it has on here? It has spam. It has a lot of other stuff you're not supposed to have. So now, is this good for my service to Hashem or not? If it is, I put it back in my pocket. If not, I toss it. Otherwise, I will not grow. And that goes for your television, your radio, your newspaper, your business, your clothing, your shoes, your vacation, everything. Is it going to help me grow? Am I going to go be part of Abraham's group? Or are they going to look from above and they see Abraham's group and me on the side? Who are you? You know, I'd like to be in Abraham's group. Good! How committed are you to that ideal? Well, I'd really like to be in Abraham's group. He seems like a very nice man. He's very successful. I like him. Oh, you'd really like to be in Abraham's group? Are you committed to that? Well, you know, I think so. Flip-flop. Don't think so. Oh, yes, yes, I'm sure. You're sure you're in Abraham's group? You're committed to Abraham's group? You know being Abraham's group is difficult. You can't eat here, you can't dance there, you can't listen to this, you can't watch that, you can't read this, you can't say that. You know that? Yes, I do, and I'm committed to it. Let's go. And so we go on a Shabbaton or a seminar, we come back all fired up. This is fantastic. I'm almost a Baal Teshuvah. I was religious before I started. So what's going on? If you threw away the baggage, you'll make it. If you didn't, all that excitement is a waste of time. It's a flash in the pan. So it says in the Pasuk, Vayetze lalechet atza kenan. Vayavo Atza Kenan. They left to go to Atza Kenan. And unlike Lot, and unlike Avram, I mean Terach, Avram's group gets to Eretz Kenan. The way you leave, that's where you're going to get to. Abraham left to find Emet, to be a good servant of Hashem. He said, to do that, I got to leave my baggage behind, everything from Beit Avicha. Two boys go to yeshiva. They get on the plane, they fly to the yeshiva. They get to the yeshiva. They're equal in intelligence, equal in background, equal in age, everything equal. They arrive. One guy goes straight to the Beit Midrash. I got to find the Chavruta. I need a good Chavruta. I need a good learning partner. Chavruta, mituta. I don't have a good Chavruta. I'm dead. Big place. I'm a new guy here. Starts looking around. Starts talking. They get my name. Talk to this guy. Talk to that guy. I can't see the Mashkiach. I can't see this guy. He starts talking about it. It's working. Where's the other guy? The other guy wants to know, where's my room? How's my dira? How's my living quarters? He finds out the living quarters are not so good. He spends half a day fixing it. I got to move to here. I got to get this guy. Who's my roommate? This guy, okay, now he's got a good roommate. He's doing good. Where is the lunchroom? The dining hall. Checks out the dining hall. Not bad. In fact, he goes to the back. He sees the cook, slips him $5. Listen, you know, when you got the good thing, the bird part, you give it to me. Okay, he's set up now. He's got a room. He's got a good roommate. He's got the food. Now he goes to the Beit Midrash. Crowded. Wow, a lot of guys here. This is a big yeshiva. All screaming and da-da-da. He says, I need a shtender. So he walks in and says, where do I get a shtender? Shtender? You go and pick out a shtender. I don't know if there's any left. Just look. Now he's worried about the quality of his shtender, not the quality of his learning. He finally gets settled. The end of the Zman comes. Let's say it's the long Zman, like this year, with leap year. He entered after Sukkot, and he shows up. He's home on Pesach. One guy has a masechet in his pocket. He knows the Gemara, he knows the Tosafot, he knows the Rashi, he knows the Rishonim, he knows the Halacha. He did it! He knows several pages by heart, he knows the key points, he learned it. And the other guy's home. Ma, where are we having the first Seder, where are we having the second Seder? Oh, we're going to them, then can we go to the other one? Oh, Auntie Zaz cooks much better. You know. One guy came to Yeshiva to master a Masechet. And he left home behind. He didn't care about the room. He didn't care about... He got to find his... He's there for accomplishment. And to accomplish... I can't worry about what I had at home. At home, I was a movie star. My mother took care of me. She fed me. She clothed me. I had a beautiful room. I had all the gadgets and all the things. I had an iPod and I had a Bluetooth and I had everything. If you leave that home, you succeed in yeshiva. You bring it to yeshiva. Even when you're in yeshiva, you're home. Because your goal is to get back home. Not to get to Olam Haba. Abraham's lesson to us tonight is Sof Maaseh B'machashava Techila. Those of you who sounds familiar, it's Lecha Dodi. The end of the deed is the start of the thought. Your original intention, your original goal, that's your foundation. That's where you start. That's where you're going to end up. If it's pure and it's clean and crystal clear and you're committed to it, leave the baggage behind and you'll reach it. It's not clear, you'll bring along a lot of security blankets and what do they call things? Pacifiers, bobos. You bring everything that makes you comfortable along with you. And at the slightest diversion, slightest difficulty, you'll fall back on your old ways. So like I said at the beginning, this is not a Yamim Noraim class. This is not a Yom Kippur class. How come I'm already almost the same as I was before Elul? But the fact of the matter is, now you know the reason why. I won't talk about me, I'm not talking about you. At least now we know the reason why.
You give it up all at once?
If you can. If you can.
Cold turkey.
No drinks, no cigarettes. No fatty foods, no sugar. That's it, it's finished. I don't believe in no carbos, but you know, the other stuff, you know. You're a junkie, no more pills. You're an alcoholic, no more drinks. You're a shopper, I'm cutting your credit cards. But whatever it is that makes you spiritually ill, if you don't get rid of it, how are you going to ever get where you're going? With all the travels with Avraham, along with Avraham, just all the different phrases the Torah uses, Lot had in his back pocket Sodom. He came from there and he ended up there. Terach, Haran. Avraham was the unique individual with commitment, with purpose, with an understanding that I have to give up to get where I'm going. Not good things, the bad things that hold me back. Clarify those things in your mind. Study the books of Musar. Learn your halacha. If Hashem says it's good for you, it is. Grab it with the faith that all those people who subjugated themselves to Avram, kol ha-nefesh yasu b'charan, all those thousands of people didn't stick out because they were committed to Avram's thinking. No questions asked. Unconditional love. Unconditional faith. You want to be Eved Hashem? That's what you need. A little thought. That's the end of the class. I was just fortunate to spend... No, don't talk. I was just fortunate to spend a few brief minutes with the Rishon LeZion, Rabbi Amar, who's here in New York. And he mentioned something that fits right here. He said he was on the plane thinking. He says, you know, Avram is 75 years old when this parasha opens. We have him born, leaving with Terach and getting waylaid in Haran. And then he's 75 years old, and the Torah starts its tale of Avram. Now there are midrashim about what happened. Tokeh Rabbi Eliezer says, 12 years of this, and 13 years hiding in a cave, because Nimrod was chasing him, he was 25, and then the furnace. A lot of great stories and lessons could be learned from them. So the question really is not, the Torah is not a history book, so if it doesn't tell me history, that's okay. But the fact that he stood up for his beliefs when he was thrown into the furnace, put that in the Torah. Why was it skipped? Never thought of that, did you? Never thought of that. It's a real question. If it's a teaching book, and there's something I can learn from that time period and Lidorot forever, it's a beautiful lesson. Avram stood up for his beliefs in God and the unity against the entire world and was willing to be thrown into a furnace rather than bow down to an idol. Is that a good lesson? Why is it not in the Torah? And the rabbi's answer was as follows. Up to the point, Vayomer Hashem el Avram lech lecha. Up to that point, Avram arrived at his religion, at his faith and belief through logic, philosophy, common sense, scientific analysis. He did it. But that's not important to us. You know why? One day, Vayomer Hashem el Avram. Hashem spoke to him, and then all his theorizing is worthless. Once Hashem speaks to you, you know the truth. It's what Hashem says is true. No more analysis, no more guesswork, no more philosophizing, no more deduction. We stood at Har Sinai. Hashem spoke to us. The Nasot, to raise us to the level of those who heard from God what we're supposed to do. That's Torah. We don't have to guess anymore. We don't have to think anymore. And from the case of Ram, we learn that's where it all starts. It starts when Hashem speaks to you. And we're in the fortunate group of, he already did. So the guesswork is taken out. Learn the Torah. Study your responsibilities. Learn your attitudes. I mean attitudes. You read a newspaper, listen, you don't know what's right in this country anymore. Who's doing what, with who, where, when, how, it's all mixed up. So what's really right? Is it right to abort the Torah? Is it not right? I don't know. Well, I'll read the Torah. It'll tell you. Is it right for this governor to do what he did in New Jersey? I don't know. People say, you know, it's hereditary, it's environment, it's another alternate lifestyle. Maybe it's right, maybe it's right. But who says he's a bad school teacher if he's like that? I don't know. Especially liberal Jews, we think like that. Live and let live. We like tolerance. We need tolerance to be Jews. Otherwise, who knows? Pogroms. Maybe that's the answer. Open the Torah. Toheva. It's disgusting. It's not allowed. We don't have any problems anymore. Our only problem is we don't know what it says. So we have to take that time. We have to be committed to learning Torah, each according to his full ability. And then you'll have no questions, only answers. And the way to start is to leave behind your preconceived notions of what's good and bad for you. Because I'm telling you the emet. Torah is what's good for you. You are the people of the Torah. Even the Goyim call us the people of the book. And since that's your heritage, and that's your legacy, make the most of it. Be committed to it clearly, and you'll get past the rough spots. Dump the garbage, and you'll find it easier to do. And that's how you become Avram. Not Lot, and not Terach. Lo Aleinu. We want to be the one who wins. Because that's our nature. We love to win. You can win with Torah. We'll see you next week.